You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Our Lord expects you and me not only to live a good and decent life, but also to actively oppose evil.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Of heaven, giver of life, look with mercy upon the weary. Comfort the brokenhearted, strengthen the weak, heal the sick, and comfort the dying. O Lord, we rest assured in your promise that Satan shall not snatch us out of your loving hand. Strengthen our desire and empower our will to stand against the daily temptation of the devil and all forces of evil. Let our zeal and courage be always in your Son, our Savior, who strengthens us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. 5 centuries before Jesus was born, history records the reign of two of the world's most wicked kings. King Manasseh and King Amon rank as two of the most ungodly rulers of Judah. King Manasseh, father of King Amon, worshipped Satan, called up the dead, and dabbled in black magic. But after 55 long years of demonic rule, King Manasseh finally died. King Amon, who followed his father to the throne in position as well as in practice, was so despicable, the scriptures point out, that after only 2 years, his own servants conspired against him and put him to death in his own house. Then a dramatic change took place in history. Good and God-fearing youthful King Josiah came to the throne. The Holy Scriptures record that Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Not only did this young king do what was right, but he also actively opposed and set out to remove all worship of false gods and ungodliness. What a different and encouraging approach this was from the two previous kings. And what a different approach this is from what we are witnessing in our society today. Certainly, as in the days of King Josiah, there is a definite desire by most people today to try to do what is right. But there is also a distinctive, dangerous, and destructive difference. While most people in our generation desire to do what is morally correct, there often remains a shocking lack of will to actively and aggressively oppose what is wrong. Neighbors and even family members live together in sin outside of marriage, but no one speaks to them in love of God's displeasure, wrath, and impending judgment towards shacking up. As these activities are increasingly tolerated, one can witness Satan's clever and destructive philosophy prevailing. He deceptively, but successfully, pleads each day to live and let live. He wants no one to oppose his destructive plan. Satan has very effectively planted the idea that to oppose evil and unholy living reflects a lack of love, an absence of concern, and an unwillingness to demonstrate openness. As a result, increasingly we witness radio and television talk show hosts giving regional and even national platforms to individuals espousing this so-called alternate lifestyle, such as homosexuality and childbearing outside of wedlock. There seems to be today no restraint in the current desire to accommodate evil. Let everyone do their own thing is the new cry. Incredible as it may seem, several months ago, a major magazine printed an essay which concluded that gossip can be helpful. But according to the Holy Word of God, gossip is always harmful. It is always damaging, destructive, and deadly. Unequivocally, the Eighth Commandment states, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." But God does not stop after telling us what not to do. He desires also to encourage us to aggressively and to zealously oppose evil. Yes, God expects you and me to stand up for, to speak well of, and to defend all victims of malicious gossip, no matter who they might be. Defend even those who are not only unfriendly toward you, but who are even hostile toward you. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good." A shocking example of indifference toward evil was illustrated in a recent newspaper story. After leaving a bus stop, a 27-year-old Seattle man was knocked down and stabbed by two attackers. Instead of thwarting the evil attackers and assisting the helpless victim, several witnesses merely looked the other way. And the bleeding victim, realizing he would die if he didn't get help soon, crawled two blocks to a street corner during afternoon traffic. A score of people saw him bleeding helplessly, but no one stopped to take care of him. Yes, our society is filled with people claiming to be religious, but their indifference toward opposing evil and their failure to help those in need betrays the fact that they have no real sincere desire to listen and to obey the will and the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures contain God's revelation of His grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. And He has also revealed His holy and changeless will for the benefit of His people. God not only expects His children to read His Word, but also desires that they willingly live according to it. Already in the book of Leviticus, we hear the Lord speaking as He says, "I am the Lord your God, therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them." Jesus said, "Everyone who hears my words and acts upon them may be considered a wise man." To oppose evil is never easy. Human willpower is inadequate. Physical strength is no match for the raging forces of evil. For our struggle, the Holy Scriptures proclaim, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. At this point, one may well ask, so where is the answer? From where can you and I receive the spiritual strength needed to seek God and oppose ungodliness? Listen to the words of St. Paul as he writes to the embattled and struggling church at Ephesus. The zealous missionary and apostle states, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist the evil day, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." As you seek God and oppose ungodliness, do not depend on yourself. Let Jesus be your example and your strength. When the Savior was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, He did not depend on clever logic or reasoning to rebuke Satan. To fight the father of evil, the Savior quoted the powerful Word of God. Jesus said to the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." As evil daily lurks around you, and as God enables you to courageously stand up to oppose unrighteousness, do not be afraid. Trust completely in the supreme, death-defeating and resurrection-gaining power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust God's promise to you, recorded in 1 John chapter 4, which states, "Greater is He greater is Jesus, who is in you, than he, the devil, who is in the world. Yes, make no mistake. Without a God-given faith planted in your heart, your life and future is as vulnerable as a newborn lamb in a cage of hungry and bloodthirsty lions. The Bible warns, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In this world, conflict between good and evil rages daily. Frequently, what is pure, what is proper, and what is moral seems to lose out. Even in the life of Jesus, as recorded in the Holy Scriptures, the devil appears at first to triumph. The Redeemer, the Son of God, suffered on Good Friday as he was dragged before the religious leaders and the government officials. They spit on him. They took a reed and mercilessly beat on his head. They mocked him, and then they led him away to be crucified. The entire picture of the Easter week suffering of the Savior is one of a helpless and hopeless loser. Yet for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He did not fight when they arrested him. He did not struggle when they mercilessly pounded the nails through his hands and feet as they with calloused indifference attached him to the cross. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," even his closest friends felt total despair and utter defeat. Finally, Jesus yielded up his spirit and died. To those who beheld the Savior as only a man or a prophet, the terrible end had now come. Certainly, at this dark hour in history, the forces of evil appeared to have subdued the Prince of Righteousness. But God, in His mercy and power, demonstrated His intent otherwise. After less than 3 days in the cold and dark grave, during which time the Redeemer's body saw neither rot nor decay, He was raised from the dead. The Holy Scriptures proclaim in Colossians chapter 2 that through His death and resurrection, Jesus disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public display of them. Once and for all, Jesus declared Himself conqueror of sin, death, and all forces of evil. To some people, this may seem like just a nice story and more religion. But as a result of the ultimate struggle and the final victory, God in His gracious Word guarantees you and me the same power over all forces of darkness. And now you and I can live each day with the assurance that through Jesus Christ, we can be absolutely certain of final victory. Our Heavenly Father also wants us to live daily with a knowledge that His Son Jesus is constantly present, just as He promised His followers, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." No, don't delay. Take up the full armor of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Read, study, and meditate on the Holy Scriptures. Commit to memory those sections of the Bible where God promises power to all who seek Him and oppose ungodliness. Yes, pray unceasingly. And then as temptations arise, do not give in. Stand firm. Take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Where evil lurks, oppose it. If you are a young person, say no to pornography. Refuse to permit your body to become sexually involved. Close your ears to pornographic music. Any attempt to accommodate evil or to display openness or tolerance to evil is to grant the devil a firm foothold in your life. A mother recently wrote to Parents Magazine and said, "My 8th grade daughter is very unhappy. All the children in her class smoke marijuana, but my daughter does not. I know she feels lonely. How can I help her?" This mother is indeed not alone. Countless other parents feel that through peer pressure and other associations, their children will be caught in the vicious web of the devil. Yet no greater assurance can be given to any parent today than the advice recorded in Proverbs chapter 22. "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Surely your child's life will not be without mistakes. There will be tears and regrets. But always assure them of God's presence, protection, patience, and forgiveness. And always remember, training up a child means more than just preaching at them. It means, first of all, setting a loving example. Let your children see you read from the Bible. Let your children see and hear you pray. Take your children to church and to Sunday school. Don't just send them. Let patience and forgiveness be the ruling qualities in your home. And as parents, be the first to demonstrate love. One well-known sociologist recently stated that the great problem between parents and children today is that the parents desire to live lives as they please, but expect their children to follow the straight and narrow way. Parents, children can never learn how to live properly by seeing hypocrisy. No, opposing ungodliness is not optional for God's children. He expects each of us to be alert and to oppose the ways of the evil power. But the greatest and most awesome responsibility lies on clergymen. The Lord expects His spokesman to warn His people of every evil which seeks to destroy the home, the church, and society. If you are a clergyman today, the Lord is speaking to you as He spoke to Ezekiel when He said, "I have appointed you as a watchman. You will hear a message from my mouth and give the people warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But, the Lord says, if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life." In our text for today, we see young King Josiah seeking God and actively opposing ungodliness. Young King Josiah is a person to be imitated in our generation. Like King Josiah, God expects us not only to live a righteous life, but also to actively and zealously oppose ungodliness. But we cannot do it ourselves. Only with a God-given faith in our hearts, built upon the death and resurrection of the Savior, can we say with St. Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so on this day, carefully listen and cheerfully respond to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Take up the full armor of God, stand firm, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes, you can do all things in Christ who will strengthen you. Amen.